If everybody could rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the March 1st Village of Alloway Board Meeting. I'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Atwood is excused. Trustee Rafter.
Here.
President Gast is here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
All right. All present and accounted for except excused Trustee Atwood. Is there a motion to either modify or adopt the agenda as presented? Trustee Harris.
Move to adopt as presented.
Trustee Rafter, do you second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, the agenda is adopted. Announcements, Mr. Barrett, PSC rate case.
Just a brief note on that. Last week, the Public Service Commission did approve the rate adjustment for the Village of Alloway. We did post it on the website, it will be in the newsletter. I didn't get a chance to send you a copy of the document we got, but I will do that yet. It is a 12% rate increase average overall for the village. This is the first rate increase for the last 4 years. So that's really, if you look at it, it's a little bit more than the cost of living over the last 4 years. The biggest change in the rates is in the public authority category, which is our in commercial, which is the business portion of the rate. And as you recall, years ago, we were at 95% of the cost of service for our commercial and public authority customers. And this rate case puts us at 98% of the cost of service. In other words, the Public Service Commission is just gradually increasing that until it reaches the point where all customers pay 100% of the cost of service. So the next time that there's a rate increase, they will adjust it then so that it's 100% of the cost of service for public authority and commercial. We did include in the rate case an update to our water, utility, waste, and water credit policy. As you know, we put that in place several years ago. The Public Service Commission did review that in detail. And it's pretty much what we wanted for a credit policy. And the Public Service Commission is going to use that policy set for us statewide now for other customers that implement a wasted water credit policy. The other thing is there's no purchased water clause in our rate anymore at this point. So in other words, we can't make an automatic adjustment in our rate if our purchased water from the Central Brown County Water Authority is increased. And the reason that they're doing that is they're phasing that out for all the Water Authority customers. And what they're telling us now is if we need to make a rate adjustment, then we should use the simplified rate case, which is a one-page form that you submit after you do your annual audit if you need to do a rate adjustment. So that'll be the approach in the future. If we need to make a rate adjustment, we'll use the simplified rate case. And we're allowed to do that for about 5 years, and at that point, then we have to go for a full rate review with the Public Service Commission. So that's the window that we can use that. That's about it.
All right. Any questions of Mr. Burke concerning that? Trustee Green.
Just for the benefit of the minute and the people listening, could you explain a little bit about our wasted water policy? Because I don't think a lot of people know that that actually exists.
What that is the Public Service Commission does require, well, they don't require it, but they recommend in the administrative rules that a water utility have a credit policy if a customer has an appliance failure or a plumbing failure that loses water in a large quantity from their supply system. And the process, or the thought behind that is that in a situation where there's a large water loss, the utility could sell the water at its cost rather than its retail price. to help that customer out. So we did put that in place in our 2008 rate case, but it wasn't reviewed by the Public Service Commission in detail. This time it was. So it's an appliance loss or a plumbing failure. We've had a couple of homes where the service froze, ruptured a pipe, flooded their basement. That's where this comes into play. You know, that might be a very large water bill, and then what we do is we make an adjustment on the bill for the cost of the water and the direct cost of the sewer discharge, the sewer bill. That's how we use that. And then there's a third category called a hardship case. Officially, we can't use that hardship case anymore because it gets very complex and it's a legal issue. And the Public Service Commission suggested that we not include that in our policy. However, we still have the same tools because we can do the purchased water and the sewer bill adjustment. So, but it is just for those cases where somebody has a unique situation or a malicious act. Somebody turns on an outside faucet while you're on vacation, you don't know about it, and it's a large water loss, you know, we can do something about the bill.
And the other thing I don't think people know is that our water department will help you if you think you have a leak. Our water department guys are great about coming out and will help you try to troubleshoot it. So just in case that happens to anybody.
That happens about once a week.
Mm-hmm.
We inspect a home at the request of the homeowner to help them locate what appears to be a water loss or a high consumption. And with our new water meters, we do read the meters daily. So we do have a program in there that tells us when there's a high consumption. So we actually do call the customer or stop and put a note on their door that they might have a high consumption. Please check it and call us if you have a question. And hopefully that reduces the need for this wasted water policy in the future.
Thank you.
All right, any other announcements from the staff? Mr. Fuller.
We just announced it, and we did receive a grant that we applied for the as part of the CLG program, and that would be to fund hiring a consultant to nominate the Miramar district and the two individual listed homes in the village. So I'm still waiting to hear from the state as to what our next step should be, but I'm assuming it's going to be put together in RFP by our consultant. So I'll let you know when that happens.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. We always like grants. Any other staff announcements? Any board announcements? Hearing none, we'll move to the public appearance section of the agenda. Anyone can address the board on any subject that you so choose. The board, however, can only take action on issues designated as action items on the agenda for this evening. Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the co-chairman of the Village of Alloy Biked Committee in charge of pedestrian issues. And I've been notified by the state of Wisconsin that they do intend to widen Riverside Drive in front of the Murphy Coles estate and take down the trees and the fence possibly use eminent domain to capture some land from those property owners to put in a sidewalk. And since I am in charge of pedestrian issues, it's my belief that a sidewalk on Riverside Drive is not the best alternative, and that the pedestrian accommodations using the Fox River Trail that we've been working on is a much better alternative than to taking people's property through eminent domain. Thank you.
Could I ask a question? Or no?
Okay. Any other public comment during the public appearance section? All right. Hearing none, then we'll move to the next item on the agenda. There is no old business. Item number 5, action regarding the future of the ad hoc bike and ped committee. This issue was put back on the agenda after some discussion at the last meeting, concerning certain residents, getting upset about the supposed St. Mary's Trail. I personally have given it a lot of thought, you know, since that time. I think that the committee itself, as created, with the structure within which it was created for reporting and making recommendations to the Plan Commission, I do think that the committee has value for the Village of Alloway. I mean, clearly we want to be, to the extent that we can, we want to be walkable and bikeable, so I do think that the committee has value as an input committee to the Plan Commission and ultimately to the Village Board. And so I'm not in favor of eliminating the Bike and Ped Committee. I do, however, have concerns. The residents, you know, that sent the emails and the ones I've talked to, and I know that a lot of you have received emails as well, believe that this was kind of a done deal on behalf of the village. And I think that a lot of it came from the co-chair. People refer to it as Mr. O'Rourke's proposals. I'm looking at one of the emails I got. How can the co-chairman of the Bike Ped Committee attempt to fast-track a change in easement classification without an open dialogue between any of the immediate residents being impacted? This approach is interrupted as a strong arm move, shows a lack of respect for Alloway residents and a lack of professionalism by the co-chair. So I don't think the problem is with the committee. I think it's with the co-chair. I mean, the emails I received from Mr. O'Rourke, you know, indicate, I mean, almost all of them indicate, you know, as he alluded to when he addressed the board, you know, that he's the Alloway Bike Ped Committee co-chairman of walking. And I think that, you know, when he communicates in that fashion to the residents, I think the residents get confused as to whether he's speaking for the Village of Alloway or he's not speaking for the Village of Alloway. And sometimes I don't know in what capacity he is speaking. As a co-chairman of this committee, this ad hoc committee, or as a realtor in our community, or as a resident of this community. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. And everybody's entitled to their profession. But not everybody is entitled to affiliate themselves in an official or quasi-official capacity with the Village of Alloway. I think that's what caused the confusion. I think that's what caused the problem. The committee serves at the pleasure of the board. The appointments serve at the pleasure of the board. I don't want this confusion to happen again. I think there is some misleading communication that's going on out there. I think residents are getting upset about it. This whole St. Mary's thing, people kept coming thinking it was a done deal and the village approved it, and we never approved it. So I think the committee has value, and within its confines, I think the committee should continue to operate. I think the committee should continue to make recommendations to the Plan Commission and or to the Village Board for incorporation into the comprehensive plan or into any particular project that we're dealing with. Now, one of the concerns I have, if we're not careful in that structure, is, as we discussed the last time, we have a number of parks. You know, so in a lot of respects, you know, to increase the ability for people to walk and bike in the community may take, you know, acquisition of property in one way, shape, or form. You know, be it eminent domain or be it acquiring an easement. Those are very significant issues. So I don't want the community to get a mixed message in terms of what the board is willing or not willing to do in those regards. So I view the Bike Ped Committee as an advisory committee to make recommendations after they deliberate and speak as a body to the Plan Commission and or to the Village Board. I mean, we're always willing to listen directly. But I think Mr. O'Rourke's a problem on that committee. I think he's confused people. I think he's using this position as a committee co-chair as a position of some measure of authority within the village, and that's confusing people. So it would be my motion and recommendation that we remove Mr. O'Rourke from the Bike and Ped Committee. Is there a second? Effective immediately. Is there a second to that motion? Trustee Rafter.
I would second that.
Any discussion concerning this motion?
Just to let you know why I would second that, I share your concern. My concern is that people think by going forward and presenting these plans as though they're going to become reality, it seems as though Mr. O'Rourke has been speaking on behalf of the village, and that shows that the village doesn't listen to the residents, and we're trying to do everything we can to reverse that perception. So for that reason, I would agree with you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is unanimously granted. Mr. Fuller, if you would make recommendations to the board in terms of who we may be able to appoint to that committee, or take recommendations from the committee as to who the committee might want to see appointed. All right. All right, next item on the agenda is item number 6, Village of Alloway appointment to the Brown County Planning Commission Board of Directors. Mr. Harris's term is coming up. Mr. Harris, are you willing to continue your service?
Yes.
Thank you for your service to the Brown County Planning Commission Board of Directors. I'll make a motion to appoint Trustee Harris to the Brown County Planning Commission Board. Is there a second? Trustee Dennis. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Henshin.
Mr. Harris, you stand reappointed. Action regarding the Public Works Committee minutes dated February 11. Item number 1 or 7A, approval of the 2015 annual stormwater manager report that was recommended for approval by the board, by the Public Works Committee. Does anybody have any questions of Mr. Barrett? It's a standard process that we have to go through in terms of a permit application on an annual basis. Any questions of him? If not, is there a motion to adopt the recommendation of the Public Works Committee to approve the stormwater management report? Trustee Green.
Move to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That recommendation is adopted by the board. 7B, approval of the DOT agreement for the Riverside Drive and paving project. That concerns the manholes and I think the cost is relatively nominal, $28.18, but it's a village cost and we need to approve the contract for that. Is there a motion to so approve? Trustee Rafter.
I would move to approve.
Second, Trustee Green.
Second. And then I've just got one clarification, because it was my understanding that the last communication we received from the DOT was that they were not doing eminent domain, they were not taking the whipping pole fence down, they were taking the trees down.
Last I thought I heard they were going to have some further dialogue.
I can add to that if you'd like.
Sure.
I sat in two meetings, one with Craig and four of the residents, Andy from the DOT, mm-hmm. and then one yesterday with Roberta Roloff and Andy from the DOT. The street is not going to be widened. It is proposed to be the same from curb to curb. And yes, on the east side, there is no sidewalk proposed for the west side in the Murphy Coles Estate area. On the east side, there is a proposed sidewalk, and they're still working through the design of that. Andy presented the residents with two options. The first option was a commercial sidewalk where it goes right up to the curb with no terrace. It's a 6-foot commercial walk. In that instance, the fence line, for the most part, the property lines would not be impacted. They need to take down the fence and put it back up, but the property lines would not be impacted. The other option was to go with a 5-foot sidewalk and a 5-foot terrace. That would impact the fence by 4 feet and the property lines by 4 feet, and they didn't like that. The next option, the middle ground, because Craig had brought up a valid point that I think the residents even agreed to, that there's really no place on a commercial walk to put snow. So it would all end up in their yard and all that. So what it seems to be, the agreement at this point in time, is a 5-foot sidewalk with a 3-foot brushed cement terrace, much like we're going to do in some of the commercial areas, because that way they don't have to 3-foot terraces don't grow grass, and they wouldn't have to worry about it. So the residents seem to like that. One of the residents in particular liked that very much because of the safe pathway down to the pedestrian crossing. So Andy is going to come back in a couple of months with some more drawings on the two options. I think he's handling it extremely well. I think the residents have really enjoyed working with him. So that's the update.
Thank you.
Any other questions concerning this? All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the... do we have a motion and a second, Madam Clerk?
Yes.
I believe we do. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The paving agreement is approved. Item number 7C, approve the street paving contract AL 2016-01 for the 2016 street paving. That was put out to bid.
Northeast Asphalt was the lowest bidder. This is for our Public Works Department annual paving out of the operations budget, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a motion concerning the approval of this contract? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion?
Quick question.
Sure.
Have we used Northeast Asphalt previously, or is this the first time we've used them?
Yeah, in the last couple of years, they were our paving contractor.
Thank you.
Well, if I remember the notes right, there was a pretty significant reduction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Low bid was $12 per square yard compared to $16 last year. The oil prices, right?
Oil prices, yeah. We're recovering some of the higher oil prices than we had 2-3 years ago.
All right, do what you can to keep the oil prices low, Mr. Brown. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The paving contract is approved. Item number 8, action regarding approval of the Plan Commission annual report. Trevor, do you have any introductory comments?
The format we kept the same as last year. Much easier to read, much easier to follow. If you look at accomplishments, the Plan Commission took on quite a bit this year and accomplished quite a bit. And then if you look at 2015 actions and compare that with their recommendations compared with the Village Board's final approvals, 100%. So that's a great number as well. Obviously, we want the Plan Commission Board aligned as much as possible. Tasks for this year, some of them include the figuring out what to do with the land of field sales tax and then some zoning issues that we want to figure out as well. But other than that, it's pretty straightforward.
All right, thank you, Trevor. Mr. Retzloff, I see you're here. Would you like to address the board on the annual report?
No.
Okay. Well, I reviewed it, and the Plan Commission, once again, had a very busy year, as they always do. And my comments go out, or my appreciation to the Plan Commission for all the work that they do. I mean, it's a lot of very detailed work that they have to do, reviewing plans and submissions and drawings. And regrettably, that's oftentimes a battleground, you know, between developers or those that want to do something and the local residents. So it's not an easy position. In addition to the very detailed and technical subject matter, you know, it's often pretty contentious in the Plan Commission meetings over what's being considered. So they do a wonderful job, and we have good and qualified people that fill those roles. So I'll make a motion that the Village Board adopt the annual report. Is there a second? Trustee Rafter, any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The annual report is accepted and adopted by the Village Board. Item number 9, action regarding amending TIF guidelines. Said Clara.
Clara's not here. I'll take it. What we're asking the board to do is these TIF guidelines were put together when the TIF was originally created, and one of the items in the requirements is that the developer submit $5,000 up front. And in discussion with Attorney Duffy, that's something that typically you don't see anyway. So it was the recommendation, or our recommendation, in concurrence with Attorney Duffy, to remove that portion from the requirements. We'd like to maintain the application fee of
$500. No, that sounds like a good recommendation. You get people that want to come into our village and develop, and we're going to hit them with a $5,000 fee. That doesn't sound very business-friendly, so I'm glad it's coming back to the board. Is there a motion concerning the elimination of this $5,000 upfront fee from the TIF guidelines? Trustee Dennis.
I'd make a motion that the $5,000 fee be removed from the TIF request, the section of the TIF outlining it. Requires that in the jungle, anyways. And then we further allow for the $500 application fee.
All right. Motion made. Is there a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The guidelines are so amended. Administrator Lang, the beekeeping ordinance. I didn't see it in the packet, but.
We've been busy.
Did you think about that all day long? Just sat in your office and figured out you were going to lay that one on?
We've made some grounds. What we're trying to accomplish is allowing for the residents that have requested the ability to keep bees. And with the makeup of so many neighborhoods, it's very difficult. So utilizing some public space to do so, particularly around our detention ponds that are full of native flowers. So it makes it's a good fit. Trying to create an ordinance that is not over the top, but is very simplified, and also trying to create some sort of a liability / application form for an individual that would like to be a beekeeper on public property. So trying to find the best of both worlds right now has been a little cumbersome. Did find out that the Wildlife Sanctuary does have an individual that's been doing it for multiple years, so they're going to share the format that they utilize. I met with the Brown County Beekeepers Association on a Saturday. They held a meeting. They allowed them to use one of our facilities, so I went and attended. And they're being very gracious to help us put this together. They did indicate that in this meeting that they had five residents contact them from Alloway, wishing that there was an opportunity in Alloway. And of course, we've been in dialogue with the Brown County Association and informed them that it is coming. So I think it's going to be a nice win-win. It's just a matter of trying to get everything in place without making it cumbersome. So it should be coming back to you hopefully the first meeting in April, because I'm meeting with the Brown County Association again on March 15th.
Okay, any questions of Mr. Lang on this particular issue, or just I'll wait for it to return to the board? Trustee Duff.
I do have a thought, but the information was passed along to me and I met some folks that in regards to the beekeeping facilities, that a normal year for attrition rate is around 28% for beekeeping, and in this last 2 year period that was covered, the beekeeping live rate dropped 64% in the state of Wisconsin, and so there was real fear over the loss of that. They're needed for many different forms of agriculture in the state of Wisconsin. And one of their prime nemesis is pesticides, which affect and kill their brain cell, for lack of a better statement. And the state of Wisconsin is looking into the possibility of providing additional funding for those areas who are looking at adding beekeeping facilities. So as we progress along this, we may keep in mind that the state may be willing to help us in our efforts to establish a beekeeping colony.
Excellent. Yeah, we should keep our eyes and ears open for those kind of grants if and when they become available. Any other questions or comments concerning this particular issue? Okay, hearing none, we'll just wait for it to come back. Thank you, Brad, for following up on that. Item number 11. Village Board meeting on March 29 instead of April 5 due to the election. Right?
Just if we so choose to, if there's items available, we could do the 29th, and it appears that we will have some items that typically would have been the first meeting in April, but since the election, this room's going to be occupied. Makes it a little cumbersome in the other room, and we lose both Clara and, Carrie, it was Carrie and Debbie that particular evening because of the election. So the recommendation would be to move the meeting to March 29th. So that would give us three in March.
Okay. I don't see a problem unless we're going to have agenda items to deal with. I mean, the board got a problem with that? Mm-hmm. All right. Then I'll make a motion that we cancel the April 5th regular board meeting due to the election. Instead, the village board will convene on March 29th at 6:30. Is there a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we've got a meeting on the 29th of March. Brad, can you just make sure that's posted on the website so people know that we're going to be meeting March 29 instead of April 5? All right, next item is item number 12, the consent agenda. Unless anyone has any objection, I'll entertain a motion to approve items 12A through E. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Trustee Harris, is there a second to that motion concerning the consent agenda? Trustee Dart, any discussion concerning the consent agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda adopted. Item number 13, update on Neighborhood Watch.
DEO Vocal is not here tonight, as you see.
He's out fighting crime, which is what we want him to do.
He doesn't even know here, is it coming to prove? There is a meeting with the neighborhood coming up, which both Trevor and DEO Vocal will be attending. Just continue to send out information to neighborhoods and make as much many contacts as possible. So that's what Jason's been really focusing on. I did get a nice compliment today from a business that was dealing with Jason, and very, very positive on the results that she was able to get from his involvement. So I think that's, you know, to continue that throughout the neighborhoods too. So keep our fingers crossed that we'll have a nice association going, and several neighborhood watches going as well.
Excellent. Well, and I do see, you know, in Alloway Neighbors, the magazine, that we're always promoting. And so let's continue to promote. I think once we get one firmly established and it looks like they're having fun and it's a cohesive neighborhood and there's some social activities, I think maybe the idea will catch on a little bit. So let's continue to promote that. Any other issues concerning Neighborhood Watch or neighborhood associations? I'll make one other quick announcement. Alloway's has a Lions Club. And Mr. Lang and Mr. Fuller and myself are members of the Lions Club. We have meetings. Oh, yeah, Lynn's on there too. You missed the first meeting and I missed the second meeting. So they're going to have the standard meeting day is Thursday evenings at 6:30 p.m. and the first Thursday of the month at First Merit Bank. So anybody that's interested in perhaps joining the Alloway Lions Club, I mean, we're a charter club, feel free to contact any of us Lions and come roar with us. So it's a great organization. All right.
We really roar.
We really roar. Some of us are louder than others. Item number 14, adjournment. Trustee Dennis makes the motion to adjourn. Trustee Harris seconds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We stand adjourned. Thanks.